Nikola Jokic got a triple-double in his NBA Finals debut. Jamal Murray scored 26 points. The Nuggets had little trouble with the cold shooting Heat on the way to a 104-93 win in Game 1 on Thursday night. Jokic finished with 27 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds for the Nuggets, who waited 47 years to make the Finals and trailed for all of 34 seconds and eventually led by as many as 24. The Heat attempted just 2 free throws, the fewest in playoff game in NBA history. The flip side was the Heat's lack of free throws. The Nuggets committed only 8 personal fouls. That's 4 fewer than any other team in Finals history. Here's Bam postgame.
Bam, I promise I'm not trying to get you fined, but two foul shots to 20. It's quite a discrepancy, but it doesn't seem like you guys are complaining about the officiating.
If I do say something, will you take the fine?
Of course you
have. We can't even get into that. You know, we can't let them dictate the game. I just feel like we took a lot of jump shots, and we missed a lot of them instead of getting to the basket.
All right, Jay, what must the Heat do to even this series?
Well, I just want to be clear on this free throw discrepancy. The Heat took more jumpers in this game than they have all season. Jimmy
thank
Butler
you.
Had his least thank amount you. Of drives he's had all season. This was not about the officials. This is about how the Miami Heat played basketball. So for them to even the series, look,
absolutely.
It starts with Jimmy. It starts with Jimmy Butler. It absolutely starts with him. He doesn't have to play perfect, but he's got to be aggressive in the same way he was aggressive in Game 7. That wasn't a perfect game. He took 28 shots. He made 12, but he was assertive. He tried to impose his will. And some of this, look, is Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr.'s defense and their length and their size and all that. If I'm the Miami Heat, I'm taking a page out of what they did against the New York Knicks in the second round, where they relentlessly targeted Jalen Brunson. Now, Jalen's still got his numbers, and I'm not saying Jamal Murray's going to get worn down and get, you know, he's not going to get his numbers on the offensive end. But there's a cumulative effect to attacking smaller players. You got to get Jamal Murray on Jimmy Butler, or if he's in a show, you play out of that. So that's the first thing. You have to expect that the Miami Heat shooters are going to shoot better, that Max Strus is going to knock down some shots, Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin, that these guys are going to shoot better. Now, Lowry and Gabe Vincent both shot it well. And then the last thing is this. Look, I started the show with this. There has been no answer in these playoffs for Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. That two-man game, there has been no answer. Can Eric Spoelstra come up with something creative, whether it's starting Jimmy Butler on Jokic, or maybe they move Kevin Love into the starting lineup, they figure out different matchups. I don't know what it is, but that has to be priority number one.
Well, listen, first of all, first things first, nobody disagrees. You're absolutely right. They weren't driving the ball to the basket. They were shooting a whole bunch of jump shots, more jump shots than they had shot at any point in time in this postseason. So you're right on point with that, JJ. Both KP and I agree with you there. I'm just going to throw out the obvious from this standpoint. They got to shoot the ball. They got to shoot the rock from the perimeter. Bam Adebayo is not going to give you much in the post area. You damn sure ain't going to be Cody Zeller. You don't have, and not only that, Jimmy Butler, again, is undersized to some degree. Jokic defended him 1 minute. He shoots 1 of 9 from the field. Hit 3 of his 4 shots against Aaron Gordon. But the bottom line is that's not something you can rely upon in terms of Jimmy Butler going at guys that are bigger than him and really, really being able to do something in the interior. I believe you've got to make perimeter shots. Caleb Martin shoots 1 of 7. Max Strus shoots 0 for 10. That's 1 for 17 shooting. Throw Duncan Robinson's 1 for 6 future performance into the equation. That's 2 for 23. That's not going to cut it. You've got to be able to make shots. If you want to throw Jimmy Butler into the equation, what you're really, really talking about is him being that playmaker, a guy that sets up opportunities for these guys, but it's still going to call upon them to really, really drop some buckets, really hit those shots, which is where a guy like Kevin Love could come in, because Kendrick Perkins brought that up at the beginning of the show. We know that he's capable of hitting shots from the perimeter. We know that Kevin Love can shoot, even though he struggles statistically at times. Obviously, that's why I had a lot to do with why Cleveland wanted to go in a different direction from him as well, but he's in a better situation now. We know that. In the end, you don't have the kind of game to attack Denver on the interior. To beat them, you're going to have to hit perimeter shots. The difference between, let's say, for example, somebody like Golden State and somebody like Miami. With Golden State, we expected them to be able to pull that off based on their history because of how they got Steph and they've got Klay. We didn't expect that from Miami coming into this postseason because that's not what we saw from them, with the exception of the last week and a half of the season until the postseason arrived. Then the postseason arrived and they really, really started making shots. And we expect that now because that's what it's going to take to beat Denver. I don't think there's anything else that they can do. I really, really don't.
Well, I want them to go big. I want them to start Kevin Love. I just want to see it out there on the floor. But I thought last night they missed some wide open looks, especially Max Strus. I don't believe he's going to go, 0-10, 0-11 like he did. He's going to shoot the ball better. But I looked at their pace as well. And the starting unit did not do a great job of actually putting the pace on make or miss shots. And when you go back into that Boston series and you look at game one and game two, I was sitting there watching the game and I'm saying, damn, Miami pushing the pace. Damn, they getting out in transition. Damn, they getting deflections. They getting steals. They're running. And they didn't have that until Kyle Lowry came into the game. And I don't know if it was Van Gundy that was talking about it last night, but he was saying about how when Lowry checked into the game, about how the pace picked up for the Miami Heat, and actually they played better basketball. So they have to be able to push the pace in order to get those quality looks up, because we talk about the size and the length and things to that nature. But again, I'm looking at Jimmy Butler. Game one, he come out, he hit a pull-up two, a pull-up three-point shot. I'm like, oh, okay, he had a quick 5 points. I'm like, he's gonna be aggressive. Now, credit to the Denver Nuggets. They did make him struggle when he was driving to the basket. But I thought that he passed up a lot of mid-range shots that were there. And I thought the mid-range shots that he did take last night, he just didn't look confident for some reason. It was almost like he was leaning. It was one on the baseline where I didn't know if it was a jump shot or a floater. Jimmy Butler has to be more aggressive. 14 shot attempts, I believe it was, he had last night. Let's not go get it. And I understand he came into the post game and he talked about how he trusts his teammates. And you want to continue to trust in your teammates, but you also want to continue to be aggressive because you're that dude.
JJ, I want to stay with this, but ask you this. What is the bigger concern for you with the Heat? Is it Jimmy Butler or more so the role players?
For me, it's Jimmy Butler. And look, Perk knows this because we were both role players. Your production and output, the expected production and output from role players varies game to game. To win in the playoffs, your star players have to play well. And playoff Jimmy is a real thing. It's a real thing. His first 11 games in this postseason run, 31.5 points a game, 52% from the field. Since game one of the Boston series, we've got 7 games now. He's at 21.5 points per game and shooting 41% from the field. And I know how Jimmy takes care of his body. I know the type of shape he's in. I'm not saying he's getting worn down from this playoff run, but he's got to summon some level of aggressiveness and get to the basket and score. He did have some success when he did shoot in the restricted area. The mid-range pull-ups were off last night. He's got to be a downhill attacker. But those numbers don't lie. He has not been great over the last 7 games.
JJ, Kendrick Perkins, let me ask y'all a question. It's not a debate. I'm throwing it y'all way. Y'all played. We look at Jimmy Butler. Even though playoff Jimmy is real and we get all of that, the level of aggression that we normally see from the quote-unquote marquee, that, am I wrong in saying that's not what we normally see from Jimmy when he is aggressive? Obviously, we notice because he gets it done a lot more often than not. But isn't there something to be said about the fact that there are many occasions where we have found ourselves saying we expected him to be more aggressive than he actually was? I'm talking about whether it's when he was in Chicago and they had a playoff game when D-Wade was his teammate, whether it was when he was in Minnesota and they got to the postseason for the first time in a while, whether it was when he was in Philly or Miami. Haven't we found ourselves on numerous occasions looking at Jimmy Butler and saying, you got to be more aggressive, which is not something we usually have to say about marquee guys?
Well, let me say this. I believe when you look at Jimmy Butler, he doesn't have, in the modern day terms, a deep bag. right? So he doesn't have a bag like a Jamal Murray. Where we watching Jamal Murray hit some shots and go between his legs and the fake spin, hezzy pull-ups. Jimmy Butler don't have that. And if you go back and watch a lot of his games that he have had, you know, those big moments and dropped a 40-piece or a 50-piece, it's a combination of a lot of things. One, going to the low block, you know, abusing the smaller matchup, back cutting, getting downhill, using the pick and roll, using his craftiness, getting out in transition. A lot of his shots get from getting out in transition. His pull-up three, switching the pick and roll. So I understand where you're coming from, Stephen A., when you look at certain guys like, you know, a Steph Curry, a Jamal Murray, a Kevin Durant, a Devin Booker, a Jason Tatum. They got a deeper bag when you look at it on how they get it done for us, isolation. Jimmy Buckets, when he go and get buckets, it comes from a combination of a variety of things.
It's a fair question to ask, Stephen A., and I think some of it is just the nature of how Jimmy Butler plays. He tends to be a little more methodical throughout the first three quarters, looking for his teammates, probing, and then he gets aggressive down the stretch. We saw that in Game 6 against Boston, where he essentially brought them back and gave them a chance to win. I think about his best games. He has a disposition to score early in the game. Think about that 56-point game that he had against Milwaukee. He had a 20-plus point quarter in the first and a 20-plus point quarter in the fourth. To me, that's when he's at his best, but that's not the natural way that he has played basketball since he's been in the NBA, particularly with the Miami Heat, where he really feels a necessity to get his teammates going early in the game. I don't think you have the luxury of doing that against these Denver Nuggets. I think he's got to be aggressive and early.
Got to leave it there.
And that's exactly why I said the role players, that my point was the role players are more important on Miami because of what you both just explained. Mm-hmm. He's not the guy that gives me the ball, I'll take it there. That elevates the responsibility on the part of the role players around somebody like him as opposed to one of those marquee stars we're talking about.
Well, yeah. Look at you. I actually agree with you on that one, because if he get the role players going, then that opens up everything. Congratulations.
But so, hold on, Stephen A.
I taught you well.
Stephen A., Jimmy Butler's a marquee star.
I didn't say he wasn't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say he wasn't. All right.
I just want a clarification.
I didn't say he wasn't.
All right. We're leaving it there.
Don't have to be
well,
an
you
argument,
want a lot of
AJ.
Clarification. You've been asking for clarification
everything
a lot
don't
today.
Have to be
but that's
argument,
all right,
bro.
It's okay. Okay, I'm just saying.
It's a
it's
debate
right.
show,
JJ,
Kirk.
Just smile.
Everything don't have to be argument.
Now you know. Now you know.
Okay. Oh, God. Are we done?
Way to go.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Good afternoon. Welcome back to First Take. Thank you so much for being with us, or good morning if you're on the West Coast. To the NBA, Adam Silver says the Ja Morant ruling is coming after the NBA Finals. Morant was suspended for 8 games by the NBA back in March for an incident where he broadcast himself on Instagram displaying a gun in a suburban Denver club and was suspended by the Grizzlies last month after another video showed Morant displaying what appeared to be a gun yet again. Here's the commissioner with more.
In terms of the timing, we've uncovered a fair amount of additional information. I think since I was still asked about the situation, I would say we probably could have brought it to a head now, But we made the decision, and I believe the Players Association agrees with us, that it would be unfair to these players and these teams in the middle of this series to announce the results of that investigation, and it seemed better to park that at the moment, at least any public announcement. And my sense now is that shortly after the conclusion of the finals, we will announce the outcome of that investigation.
Mm. Okay. JJ, I want to start with you here. What's your biggest takeaway from what Adam Silver just said?
The key word there is uncovered additional information. We can only go on what we know, and so we don't know what the additional information is. And now, look, I wouldn't even describe it as support for Ja. I was just pointing out some level of hypocrisy when we talked about this a month or so ago. I'll reiterate some things that I said then. Ja needs some level of punishment. Now, what the thing that I took away on May 16th when Malika interviewed Adam at the draft lottery in Chicago was that it didn't seem like there was a protocol in place. It didn't seem like there was a clear understanding of the requirements Ja needed to meet. It didn't seem like they had talked about further punishment if there was another incident. And the reason I bring that up is because there's no blueprint for this in the collective bargaining agreement. And Ja will certainly have the union on his side, and I assume whatever punishment they have decided on, it's in association with the CBA and with our union. So ultimately, I don't know what the number is, but like I said a month ago, there clearly needs to be some level of punishment, and Ja needs to take responsibility for this.
Go ahead, S.A.
Go ahead, Perk.
So, you know, when it comes down to Ja, J.J., I've never been on the show with you to talk about this topic. This has been transpiring for a while now. I talked with Stephen and Molly, and I told them about, you know, my private conversations with Ja before any of this social media stuff had come about. You know, it was other things that were circulating, but I'm not even about to get into that. I want to see y'all when I say this. I want to see y'all. I want to be on the screen with y'all. I want y'all to be open-minded with me on this because I'm not dishing it out there for a hot take. I'm actually being real, and I'm being honest and serious right now. Ja Morant, if he can't change, my thing is the guy is so box office. Hell, his shoes sold out in within less than, I believe, 48 hours or a day when they drop. So, guys, the kids still love him. He's a generational talent. I believe he still is going to be in the league for a very, very, very long time. But if another incident like this happened, and the way that it has transpired, back-to-back incidents, I'm ready to say right now that I think Ja Morant, it might be best for him to actually get out of Memphis and go to a different organization for his own well-being. Because you think about certain situations, like we know what the Memphis culture is like. Hell, I was about to go to Memphis. We know, like, if you in the African-American community, you know about the rap songs, you know about Young Dolph, you know about Yo Gotti, you know about Finesse Two Times, you know about all these rappers, and you know about the culture and everything that's going on in Memphis. Hell, you see them sitting courtside, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, for Ja Morant, in my opinion, I actually think it would be better for him in another city, on another team, having another change of scenery where he could actually lock in on the game of basketball and actually lock in on his family. That's just my opinion.
Stephen A., what do you think of the fresh start?
First of all, Kendrick might be right. It remains to be seen. But the reality of the situation is whether we like it or not. Once you're an adult, whether you're an adult in your 20s or you're an adult in your 40s or 50s, you've got to make your own decisions. That's what you have to deal with, and that's what Ja Morant's going to have to deal with. In terms of JJ and what he alluded to weeks ago, just to reiterate, without getting into it, I completely stand 1,000% with what J.J. Redick said in terms of the hypocrisy on the part of some politicians and the kind of things that they were doing, but people were in an uproar about Ja Morant. I don't disagree with J.J. Redick and what he said one scintilla. Let me be very, very clear about that. Having said all of that, let's get to the bottom line of all of this, because what preceded this discussion was the press conference yesterday that Adam Silver had, and he used the word uncovered. What we have to understand, without engaging in too much speculation, Adam Silver was clearly saying, we've learned more than we knew before. Now, what that is, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know, A, it's a problem, and B, it's a bigger problem for Ja Morant. And so it begs the question, what's an appropriate punishment and stuff like that? I've heard people talking about Ja Morant should get suspended for the year. Let me be very clear. I don't agree with that at all. I think that's excessive. There are other people who have said he should be suspended for at least half the season. I don't agree with that. I think that's excessive. But I do think 25 games is about right. And let's understand the biggest reason why it would be about right. One part is the transgression. The other part is, even though it was they broke no laws, as J.J. Redick pointed out weeks ago, it was in violation of no laws. Ja Morant didn't break any laws, and he didn't harm anybody. But you're representing the NBA brand, and there's a responsibility that comes along with it. The biggest reason that Ja Morant has to suffer some consequences because that Adam Silver is going to be the one to hand it down. It's because Adam Silver has basically gave indications of feeling betrayed. Like, Ja Morant was in his face, told him one thing, and did the other. And when you're a commissioner, that doesn't fly. My last point is this, JJ, just for a lot of people listening out there. The commissioner, I understand, it's got Players Association and you got representation with the union and it's the commissioner. This is what I would advise folks and young folks on the come up in corporate America. I'm very, very big on this. Say no comment. I'm talking about when you're talking to your bosses, somebody in an authoritative position to influence your life and your livelihood. When you are asked questions, do not lie. Don't comment. Don't touch it. Evade the issue or whatever. But the one thing that you do not do, because you will ultimately suffer, is when you lie to somebody in an authoritative position to influence your life. It never works out well for you.
Can we come back to this? I know we got to go to break, but I just need to make one more point. Can we please come back to this? Because it's
no,
key.
You can, you know what? No, Perk, you can make it now because you brought up an interesting take in terms of sometimes you have to remove yourself from a toxic situation and if that becomes toxic and go to another city.
Yeah, so here's my thing, okay? We have to realize this. The league is what made up of, and I don't want to get the percentages wrong, but I believe it's over 70% African Americans. Majority of the African Americans that it's made up of come from similar backgrounds, meaning coming from the hood, the projects, single parent homes, things to that nature. They have so many guys and young players that look up to Ja Morant. And I just talked about how his shoes sold out and things to that nature. And we talked about, and I'm not sitting up here coming at you, JJ or Stephen A, about when y'all said he didn't commit a crime, but he somewhat did commit a crime to the African-American community because so many young African-Americans look up to him. I'm in AAU basketball every single weekend. I got two sons that play. They got Ja Morant's on their feet. So at the end of the day, you cannot allow this to be acceptable that you're flashing a gun. That's number one. Number two, you don't want to hurt the next generation that's coming up. The great thing that happened for the NBA is, guess what? It went global, right? We talked about that. It went global. But guess what? We're not having those type of problems out of guys like Jokic and Giannis and Joel Embiid. And I named those guys Luka Doncic. Four players that are, top seven players in this league, we're not having problems out of those guys. So I don't want him to hurt the generation for the African-American kids that are in America that are trying to come up and get to where he's at.
Yeah.
Because guess what? The game is global. It's more competition now. And we have to be mindful that it could limit some roles or limit opportunities, because it's the first thing before somebody hand you the keys, they're going to say, can we trust you? Can we trust you to hand the keys that you go do the responsible thing to carry our franchise?
No, I appreciate what you're saying, and very fitting as it's Gun Violence Awareness Day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back to the finals. Jokic continued his historic postseason run by making even more history, finishing with a spectacular 27-point, 10-rebound, 14-assist night in Game 1 versus the Heat. Jokic joined Jason Kidd as the only other player with a triple-double in their NBA Finals debut. It's his ninth triple-double this postseason, extending his NBA single postseason record. Now, JJ, back in March, you gave an A-list on the top five hardest players to guard. So after we've seen some amazing postseason performances, let's flash back.
It is weak, it is pathetic that you have not numbered who the best scorers in the game are. I can't, you are literally bending knee to social media because you don't want to put numbers on names.
I rank back them. Seriously,
one,
I know you.
Two. This, one.
Three, four, five.
Okay.
Again, this list is fluid. It's fluid.
That's so
soft. But this
soft.
Is hardest NBA players to guard, period. It's not like this week. So how can it be fluid?
It's fluid because it's right now. It's right now.
Now's your time. It's arrived.
Well, you know, first of all, I don't really like doing these lists, but since Stephen A's never in studio anymore, I've been forced to do a few of these. Stephen A, please, come back so I can give you a D- on all your lists. Let's also keep in mind here, there's nothing more fluid than this list, and I own some mistakes. Let's start with number five. Bam. Bam. Kevin Durant. He'll be up. There we go. Kevin Durant, 55, 40, 90 season. Three seasons at 55% or more from the mid-range. No player in NBA history has ever done that. 7 feet tall, got a handle, scores all over the basketball court. He's my fifth hardest player to guard right now. Number four, bam, Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid led the league in scoring last two seasons. Gets to the free throw line better than anybody right now in the NBA. It's one of the reasons he's so hard to guard. And when he imposes his physical will on his opponent, he's nearly unstoppable. Number three, Steph Curry. All right, Steph, on the ball. We saw that in the LA Lakers series, playing pick and roll. Golden State able to get whatever they want. Off the ball, the hardest player in the NBA to guard. You've got to be attached to him. Can get his shot off in a second. Steph Curry's my number three. Number two, I didn't love my ranking of Jokic at five last time. I'm putting him two right now. Nikola Jokic, triple-double machine, 9 postseason triple-doubles, averaging a triple-double 16 games into this postseason run. Perk,
just the ultimate stat patter, this guy, Nikola Jokic. And number one, Jokic and Giannis. I'm going to go 1A, 1B. I can't decide between these two guys.
Oh, my Lord.
Giannis, Giannis puts all the pressure on your defense. Just constant attack in transition in the half court requires multiple bodies in front of him. As Stan Van Gundy says, build a wall. But these two guys, for me, are the two hardest players in the NBA to guard right now. But it's very fluid.
You already had a lower grade just for having two up there.
I don't care. That's how I feel.
First of all, let me tell you something right now. It's not a bad list. But you know what? I'm not going to even, like, try to change some of the names. I could throw a few names in there, but I won't. I'll go with the names that you picked. First of all, take Giannis and drop him all the way down to 4 or 5. I'll think about it over the next few minutes.
Wow.
Because when you struggle shooting from the perimeter as much as you do, when you struggle shooting from the free throw line as much as you do, I'm sorry, he can't be put in the same breath as Nikola Jokic or even Steph Curry or even Kevin Durant, okay? 50, 40, 90, Kevin Durant. That dude. Don't give me that. Don't let that look, Kendrick Perkins. But with KD and what he could bring to the table as a 7-footer, I'm sorry, he's top three. Jokic could stay there. Steph Curry's movement without the basketball, that does have something to do with guarding. JJ, you and Kendrick could appreciate that. If you got to chase somebody around all day long, that is nightmarish. You had J.R. Smith on social media a few months ago talking about Matthew Dellavedova nearly died trying to defend Steph Curry because he had to chase him around all the damn place. That there's something to be said for that. So I'm thinking about Durant. I like Jokic at number one. I'd sit up there and say Steph at number two, put Durant at number three, put Giannis at number four. And the only reason I'd put Giannis above Embiid is because a lot of times Embiid, the stamina, the injuries, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes he's standing still over the course of 48 minutes. You know what? It's a problem for him from time to time. Energy-wise, I'd give Giannis the nod over Embiid, but that is the only reason. That's where I would go with that.
Well, one, I'm very disappointed in Molly because Molly basically tried to call me out early in the show about it was a debate show,
Mellow
and
Yellow.
I loved it. And I love that she was holding me accountable. But then you allow JJ to have two. You allow JJ to come on here. Hold on. To come on here with a list and have two number ones tied. We don't do lists like that, JJ.
Lies. First of all, you didn't answer the question to start the top of the show. That's okay. And usually, you're my defender in that and calling everyone else out. So I was very disappointed in you, Kendrick
Okay,
Perkins.
All right, you're right.
But
okay,
I'll
okay,
let
you're
it slide.
Right.
You were okay, up late last night on the West Coast. So, like, usually you're on my team with that. And the first thing I said when I walked over, because we grade every list, obviously. That's the thing we do here. I said, you're deducted points immediately for having number one.
The producers told me they couldn't add an A and then one B. 1A, 1B.
No, it ain't no 1A, 1B. Molly, my apologies.
Yes.
My apologies.
Thank you.
Jokic should be number one. Let me say that right now. I believe that Steph Curry should be number two. I believe that Joel and I believe Giannis should be number three because although Stephen A is in love with shooting, he's still getting it done. 30, 12, and 5 this season. You can't stop him. Whether he can shoot or not, you can't stop him. And guess what? He delivered a championship in great fashion and had one of the greatest Game 6 finals performances in NBA history without being able to shoot the
ball. And
he
ain't hit a free throw since. Go ahead.
So what?
He got it done that day.
Now, this is where it gets tricky. I love Joel Embiid and I love Kevin Durant. But if we're talking about today, right now, this past season, I love KD in the 50, whatever, the 50, 90, first player to ever do it. Joel Embiid, we know he led the league in scoring. But Jason Tatum might be, if not the most skilled player for us on the perimeter, wing player in the game today. First player in Celtic history, to average 30. We're talking about
Okay, first of all, there's a lot of synchronicity in this first one.
Hold on, but listen, Molly. I'm disappointed in JJ because how dare you leave Kyrie Irving off that list? The most skilled player in
the
game.
It's not about the bag. It's not about the bag. It's not about. And let me also say, Jason Tatum, by the way,
it is about the bag.
You can't complain about Giannis being on this list. Jason Tatum literally had the lowest field goal percentage on pull-up jumpers this season in the NBA.
I did not complain about Giannis.
No, but it's the same Giannis thing Stephen A. saying.
Okay, but
it's not about the bag, Stephen A.
It is about the bag. When you talk about the NBA players, the guard.
Effectiveness.
Kyrie Irving got to beat up.
I have two things to say. Stephen A., you're the executive producer of the show, right? I'd like time and a half.
You know when
people get paid like double time and a half. I'd like that for today's show. That's how I feel. I deserve that today. So I'd like you to think about that with your counterparts and get back to me.
No, you're not getting paid extra. No.
I would like to.
Go ahead.
I would like to.
Is that a shot at me?
No, it's a shot at all of you. You've all been very difficult today, and I'm just happy it's Friday. I'll see y'all on Monday after I get a 48-hour break. Secondly, I need some grades, starting with you, Kendrick Perkins. What would you like to grade the Duke alum, J.J. Redick, here?
You know what? I give J.J. a B. He could have got an A-, but that number one, putting those two together, I'm very disappointed in J.J., and I don't want to, you know, take things out of contents, and I'll make sure my ears were open, but I know my eyes, I could see that you got two number ones on there, and that's not supposed to happen.
Okay, so he gave him a B,
A B's about right. He automatically gets disqualified for being an A because he couldn't be decisive. He had two number ones. That doesn't apply. So he's automatically excluded from the A category. And then when we get into the B category, I'm going to say it again. I don't care. If you're Giannis and you don't have a jump shot and you struggle from the free throw line, you're not getting in my top two. It's not happening. I'm sorry. You're not getting up there.
What did he say
in
the grade?
No.
Two Bs.
No.
It's my GPA at Duke. So we're good.
Give him Bs.
We're good.
Yeah. All right.
For your jump shot. All right. Well,
I am proud
back.
That you went to class at Duke. You didn't go to class for the jump shot. Not my first two years.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. We make a lot of bets on this show. Some of them don't come to fruition, like when I pick UConn to win the national championship and Stephen A. never buys the shoes. But you guys made a bet, Perk and JJ, that you would go skydiving together. So I just want to confirm on national television that this is really happening.
Yeah, tell her how up Stephen A. You could get it done. Tell the network to set it up. Tell them to set it up. Hell, you were rolling to the studio on a yacht.
I just wanted to provide a visual.
The Hudson River. Make it happen.
But do you see the visual? I will do that.
I will do that. But I assure you, it will not be me included in that. This is a you and JJ thing. I will not be up there.
I just want to say I do appreciate the visual. It's wonderful. Quick work.
A helmet?
From our team. But I just want to be clear. Legally, Perk and I are not allowed to actually jump together. We've never jumped out of a plane before. So we will have to be jumping separately with our instructors.
Yes.
Perk, I'm down, Perk. I'm dead serious. Let's do it.
Has anyone here actually ever skydived?
No.
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 Okay. And why do you have a helmet on? Is for safety precaution.
I legit thought that was a Mickey Mouse hat. I'm not gonna lie.
All right.
Maybe that's just my own ears.
Oh, I can't tell. It's First Take on a Friday. Come back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
You guys want to talk
like
Philly
you know,
quick?
You just dropped the mic.
Let's talk a little Philly. Yes. So the Sixers.
Molly, I want to apologize because I had a moment on Monday. I had a moment. It took me all day to gather myself from that incident, but I'm back.
You know, Monday?
Yeah, Monday, the burner account.
We still trying to gather ourselves from
when
you having one foot in the grave
himself,
and the other foot in
that
a banana peel.
That's
you still trying to get over that?
Okay.
Well, what's
right.
a lot going on?
How long were you waiting to bring that line out to Perk, just out of curiosity?
Well, I actually thought about it
banana
this pit. Morning.
You thought about it
I actually
morning.
Thought, yeah, this morning. I got a few in the chamber.
Okay. All right. all right. You guys want to make
76ers.
No, I don't know if we have time for 70. I had sound. I had a whole setup about Nick Nurse. Wrote it really nicely. Was ready to get your opinions, but I don't have time for that. Game two picks. Who you got, Big Perk? You riding with Miami? That
all
heat wave?
Day. All day. And look, it's just like Stephen A. riding with Golden State. Somebody going to have to show me that they're going to take Eric Spoelstra out, and I believe in that brother so much, and I believe that he's going to have this team ready. He's going to make the necessary adjustments. This is not going to be a cakewalk series like everybody expecting it to be. Mm. The Miami Heat will bounce back, and they will win game two.
AJ?
I believe that the Denver Nuggets are going to win game two. I expect a more competitive game, to your point about Eric Spoelstra. I expect some adjustments, whether that's lineups, matchups, X and O's. They're going to figure it out. I expect a better Jimmy Butler game. I just think with the size, the two-man game with Jokic and Murray, the fact that Denver did not even shoot the ball well in game one, too much for them in game two. And look, I said this on Wednesday. I don't know that if this series goes 4, 5, 6, 7. I expect this series to be competitive, and I expect a better competitive mode from the Miami Heat in game two. But Denver will win. Both
Stephen
can be
A?
True.
I got Denver. I would love for Miami to win game two, but I doubt it. I got Denver winning game two. Mm-hmm. And what I am praying for is that Miami at least make sure it's competitive and give us a reason to believe they're going to win games three and four. That's what I'm hoping to see from Miami in game two. They ain't walking out of the Mile High City tying this series 1-1. I think they lose game two, and I think they go back to South Beach down 0-2, needing to win game three and four to survive.
Yep. Game two Sunday on ABC. Bitch. We'll be back here to break it all down on Monday. Perk will be here. Stephen A. JJ's going to be here next week. Guys, I'm really going to miss not talking to you for 48 hours. Can't wait to see you Monday.
Bye-bye, Mellow Yellow.